deepfake is like body doubles present in Hollywood, for example. It's doing the stunts for the actors, the main actor who is appearing in the movie. Voice clones in some way are supposed to do the tedious part, or like kind of like replace you in the place where you don't want to be.
What's up? Welcome to Same Same But Tech, a podcast where we explain how technology is driving culture into the future. One analogy at a time. I'm Mahan, and today we're diving into the story of a truly deceptive phenomenon and digging deep into the topic of fakes. Not just any fakes, however. We're going deep. That's right. On today's episode, we're exploring deep fakes, voice clones, synthetic media, and all the ins and fake outs in between. The idea is simple. Take someone's voice or face and change it to look or sound like someone else's. Adjust the AI levers and dials to make it realistic, believable, frankly, a little creepy. And boom, deep fakes. By this point, it's pretty likely you've come across one of these bad boys. Deepfakes have been making the social media rounds steadily over the last few years, and they're getting more and more realistic every day. It's brought about some pretty fun face swapping apps and fancy camera filters. But being able to fake someone else's face or voice could also have some pretty alarming consequences. Just think about it. It's like someone getting the password to your voice or your face. And what might that capability mean for our society? Well, that is exactly what we're here to find out. In order to do that, we have to go back in time a bit, just slightly. Nothing crazy. The year was 2017. And if you remember, there was an election just a few months before between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump.
Our whole team is here all through the night as the votes are
during that campaign, we had lots of shouting across the aisle, nasty debates, and a generally growing divide over what direction to take the country in. And in case anyone forgot, Trump prevailed and became president for 4 years.
You're fired.
Amid the 2016 political circus, just off stage, a scrappy little AI outfit called Lyrebird was hard at work on a paradigm-shifting new technology. In a background of shouting, arguments, and just general political conflict and strife, this team of researchers was working on a new way to generate very specific kinds of audio. Completely unrelated, you say, perhaps, but not as much as you might think.
You press a button, bing, bing, bing.
And just a few months later, it was ready to roll. Today, we'll hear the story of Lyrebird, now Descript, with help from Kunden Kumar, the co-founder of Lyrebird and its voice cloning innovations. We'll hear just how, and perhaps more importantly, why they decided to fake us out with their deepfake tech. As always, we're also going to need some help explaining these things. And for that, we turned to two esteemed and notorious researchers at MIT, Patty Mays and Pat Paternoodleporn, who henceforth shall be known as Pat. And Patty. Here we go, a fun and perhaps disturbing look at a paradigm-shifting technology that could have us saying forevermore, hey man, is that actually you? LOL, who knows? We'll find out. So you want to hear a deep fake? Take a listen to this.
Hey Don, have you heard about this new technology?
Are you speaking about this new algorithm to copy voices?
Yes, it is developed by a startup called Lyrebird.
This is huge. They can make us say anything now, really anything.
The good news is that they will offer the technology to anyone.
This is huge. How does their technology work?
Hey guys, I think that they use deep learning and artificial neural networks.
Hillary is right, and I can tell you that their team is great.
I wish them good luck. I'm sure they will do a good job.
Did you catch that? At what point were the three of them ever all speaking so cordially to one another? That, my friends, was one of the very first deepfake demos with real teeth. You might think of deepfakes as a video-altering medium. And those do exist, but we're going back to a simpler time. Let's bring in the maestro himself, Kunden Kumar, co-founder of Lyrebird. Could you do us a favor? Can you explain WTF is going on with that audio clip? But also before that, could you explain deepfakes using an analogy?
Deepfake is like body doubles present in Hollywood, for example. It's doing the stunts for the actors, the main actor who is appearing in the movie. Voice clones in some way are supposed to do the tedious part or like kind of like replace you in the place where you don't want to be. Similarly, for voice clones, it creates that possibility in some ways. In some way, it's no different from Photoshop today. It's just that this was something which was not possible before.
Voice cloning, fixing all your bad takes so that everything sounds perfect. Sounds pretty sweet. Maybe I should get a voice clone for myself. That might be same, but a little weird. Anyways, so what's the deal with this demo? Give me all the deets.
The demo came on, I think, 24th of April, 2017, the first day that we launched the company. And the demo, the sole purpose was that this is possible. And the thinking behind that was to, one, just to raise interest about this technology in the world. And to be honest, there were some selfish reasons there. Like, we were looking for funding. We were looking for how to really take this thing out there. And for that, we needed to get interest from the outside community. And one of the ways to do it is to make sure to have something that people notice.
Kunden and the team were tinkering away in the lab, creating voice clones. All of the outside world became more polarized and partisan, but it was hardly the time to focus on any of that. After all, there is science to be done. So why politicians? I asked Kunden how his team designed the demo.
We just said that this thing about Lyrebird is going to be it's something that we want people to know. I don't even think that we spent too much time thinking exactly what we are going to say. So we were like, who are the people that people are going to notice the most? Just make sure that we do it in a way that is not harmful. And we just said that Trump, Obama, and Hillary will be we can have a good conversation between three of them.
A conversation among the three most well-known politicians of the last decade would probably turn a few heads. Especially at this point in time, it was just a few months after Trump settled into the White House. I mean, we have to remember how bonkers 2017 felt. You remember the fake news?
This is the fake news at 6 p.m.
And the witch hunts. Don't get me wrong. 2020 was a trip. But that whole first year of the Trump era was pretty chaotic, is all I'm saying. To fully understand the rise of deepfakes and voice clones, we have to go back to some basics here. We're going to need a bit more of an explanation on how these fakes work. Hey, Pat and Patty are MIT friends. What are deepfakes?
Deepfakes are basically synthetic media that are generated by means of machine learning techniques.
That's Patty.
In which typically a person in an existing image or video is replaced with someone else's likeness in a highly realistic looking way. In some cases, only lip movements are changed in a video so as to adjust to a new audio track. In other cases, maybe the audio is changed through the use, for example, of Lyrebird. In yet other use cases, faces are swapped.
For the visual deepfake,
and this is Pat,
you can also imagine the ability to switch out your face, whether in real time when you're having a video call, switching out your face with, you know, someone else's face or a cartoonish face, or in the non-real time context where we generate a video, for example, of someone speaking, but then change the appearance of that person to match someone else.
What are some of the famous or infamous deepfakes that you guys know about or you've seen happen in the market?
On the positive side, deepfakes are, of course, used a lot in entertainment and movies. For example, make an actor younger, like Robert De Niro in the movie The Irishman. Sometimes when an actor or actress has passed away, they need to create some fake footage, basically, of that same actor or actress to complete a movie that was done in the Star Wars movie Rogue One for Princess Leia.
you can also imagine a negative a use case where people want to, you know, use it to create fake news or trick people into believing that, you know, someone give them the permission to do, you know, something like, you know, financial transaction and so on. Technology is always in the arm race, right? There are people that want to use it for positive application and people that want to, you know, use it for malicious application or you know, try to use it to do bad things to society.
Back in 2017, Kunden and his team became the latest in a long line of inventors working on ideas that could be used for good or for evil. Most groundbreaking science tends to be that way, a double-edged sword. AKA, there's no such thing as pure research. AKA, you got to be careful and stuff. Kunden, tell us about how you guys got into voice cloning and deepfakes. Where did it all start?
Lyrebird started in 2017 when like a small group of people, including me and my co-founders, made some tremendous progress in using deep learning for speech synthesis, which is just a new paradigm of machine learning. We realized that the same thing applies for voice clones, and voice cloning becomes much easier than ever before.
Cool, but did you go into it with the aim to create fake voices for real people? Powerful people. People who can move markets with their hot takes.
So when we started this company, we were more like we created this interesting technology. We saw an interesting angle to the things that we were working on before, which was just generic speech synthesis. So we started that, you know, what can we use it for? We did not start with some problem in mind, but we more started with the technology as the base. And we were like, you know, we want to make sure that people know that this is possible.
Uh-huh.
Like this, just look at this example where we created this sample of three person talking, making sure very clear that it's something that cannot be recorded. It is generated by a computer.
So it's a proof of concept to show the world, hey, this could be used for good or evil. You should know about it. And obviously speech generation itself isn't new. We've been doing this since the 80s. Remember when the original Macintosh shocked the world when it said hello?
Now, we've done a lot of talking about Macintosh recently. But today, for the first time ever, I'd like to let Macintosh speak for itself.
Hello, I am Macintosh.
But in this new age where you're now making that voice become someone, how do you guys go about accomplishing that?
So we did something differently, which is like using deep neural network, which is like deep learning to do speech synthesis. Google probably has been doing it for a while, but we were like, you know, what's the unique thing that we can do with this now?
Uh-huh, right.
And that led us to that point in some way.
We'll get back to the Lyrebird lab in a moment, but let's talk to Pat and Patty for a bit more explanation on how this all works. What kinds of deepfakes have you made of each other?
Pat created a video of me giving a whole speech in Japanese with the wording and everything done just right, even though I probably only know 5 words in Japanese, but it looks very realistic and very good, as if I'm a fluent Japanese speaker.
That's interesting. Pat, talk to me a little bit about how this is done. Like, technically, how did you build a deepfake of Patty that speaks Japanese?
What we do is we take a video of Patty that already, you know, giving a presentation. We take the audio, we use speech to text algorithm to convert what Patty say into a text, and then convert that text, translate that from English to Japanese, and then resynthesize Patty voice in Japanese, and then use that to correct the lips using automatic lip syncing model that will automatically regenerate the face to match the voice that we create.
And then how do we tell if something is a fake? Sometimes it's obvious, but is there a way to easily detect if you're being duped?
Right now, there are many big players like Facebook or Google and even Microsoft that are trying to, you know, put this type of detection algorithm in place to help make sure that we don't have the circulation of fake news.
Shout out to the GANs out there listening. You remember GANs, don't you? A generative adversarial network is made of computers checking each other's work and correcting it. Generating a fake and then checking it against the real thing is how our episode about AI-generated art went too. Dig into your playlist and listen to it if you're curious for more. Thing is, AI's really got to have that stamina to constantly keep generating and checking. Generating and checking. Weird. Okay, moving on. Back at Lyrebird, we're at the brink of their voice clone demo being ready for the masses. A true Dr. Frankenstein moment. The promise of completely automated speech generation and voice cloning is obviously a huge leap forward for audio and manipulated media with some really cool potential uses. But the flip side is that it could really be used to harm people. Impersonating your voice on the phone, making people believe you're someone else and then saying things on their behalf. I guess I don't have to explain the concept of impersonation to you. But this technology could really go north or south, depending on who's behind the application. Why, Kunden? Why? Weren't you worried about the risks?
In the first phase, it was really, let's say, just make two things. Like when we put the website out there, make it really clear to the world that the ethics around this technology is important to us and we take it really seriously. When at that time, we really had no clarity on what we are going to do about it. We just knew that this is interesting. It's a new technology. If you just iterate enough, you will find something useful to build out of it. And we built an automated system that enforces that only you can create your own voice.
So to be clear here, Kunden and the team made this the limiting factor of their application. Only you were allowed to sign up and record training data for your voice clone. Nobody else. No bad actors allowed. And you're theoretically always in control of how it's used.
We feel responsible for the usage of this technology and we want to introduce it in a way that is ethically sound. And one way that we will do it that only you can create your own voice. We don't want to create apocalypse in this world. Like we are good people and we just want to make sure that whatever we create is really something which is useful.
Apocalypse is bad. I agree. Kunden and team had a crucial decision to make. Release their deepfake to the world and deal with the ramifications, good or bad, or hide it away in a vault forever. You know, sorry guys, this potentially groundbreaking thing could possibly be used for evil. So let's not do it. But let's be honest. When has that actually ever happened? So the geniuses at Lyrebird found a way to have their deepfake and eat their cake too. Instead of locking it away, they published it to Hacker News, a tech-focused social news site, announcing their technology, their company, and the user-specific limitations of the voice cloning tech. And boom. Ladies and gentlefakes, the toothpaste was out of the tube. The Trump, Obama, Hillary audio spread like malware on a public computer at the library. But did these guys really know what they let out of the box? We are officially out here, past the point of no return, just chilling, for better and worse. So while our brains try and process all of this, answer me this. Did you guys get the reaction you wanted? Talk to me about the spread. What happened?
It was probably 100 or more times more than we expected. So,
and was it mainly positive attention or negative or like mixed?
We just got crazy inbound. Like we got a lot of inbound from a lot of news reporters, a lot of investors, and basically that just, it was quite hard to handle. I think it was viewed more than 1 million times in just a few days or something like that. So,
how did you guys feel when that was happening?
So at least it validated some of our ego. Like, you know, we created something. We created something cool. And we were like, before we were thinking that does it even matter? And we just got this validation that yes, it matters.
Lyrebird's audio made waves. Get it? But deepfakes were just getting their sea legs, and the fakes got deeper and creepier as we go.
The more you express yourself, the more we own you.
That's Mr. Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg. And here's the always sunny Queen Elizabeth.
Trust in what is genuine and what is not.
And who could forget this gem from Obama?
How about this? Simply, President Trump is a total and complete dip.
The past few years have really been a watershed moment for fakery. And the arms race over detection continues with both generating and detecting getting better over time. Liarbirds has led to a steady stream of people signing up to clone their own voices. And there are actually some pretty cool applications in the works. Helpful ones, not apocalyptic ones.
Actual voice cloning is very interesting also for people who have lost the ability to speak, for example, due to a stroke or maybe cancer and so on. If we can capture some of their voice recordings before their accident and then create a synthetic voice for them that still sounds very much like their original voice, that really improves their quality of life greatly.
A lot of people in the beginning were like, oh, I want to save the voice of my loved ones. Can I do that using your technology? And this was one of the like repeated requests that we used to have in the beginning.
Will there be a way to make sure we know what's been faked and what's the real thing? How can we make sure?
We think of it in two ways. One is human detectability, and the other one is machine detectability. For human detectability, we can simply put a trademark like synthetic media to be like SM or deepfake like DF. And I think the accuracy of the detection algorithm is getting better and better. The second thing that I think is also happening right now as well is there is also an increase in terms of digital literacy, like, you know, detecting whether things is fake or real on internet is becoming an essential part of digital literacy. So you should not just rely on the algorithm to tell you whether this is real or fake. You should have some skill or some, sense of speculation or sense of skepticism when you look at news and information online.
Digital literacy sounds like a skill that ought to be taught in kindergarten and graduate school. Remember when your parents would freak out anytime you downloaded something off of the wild west of the internet in the 90s? Well, now our kids are going to have to watch out for fake versions of us online giving them bad parenting advice or letting them watch all the YouTube they want. Kunden, for you guys at Liarbird, now that this capability is out there, what was the next step? Where did you go from there?
So we were like, just create this API where users are going to create their voice clones. And then there will be apps which will use these voice clones to provide value to the users. An app can use your voice to give value to you only if you consent to it. Users are always in control of their own voice clones.
Because of the popularity of Liarbird's cloning tech, they also found themselves expanding and growing. Hooking up with a company called Descript in 2019. They added their cloning capability to Descript's array of new media editing tools and officially joined under the Descript umbrella. A year later, the new super team launched their key collaboration. It's called Overdub, a voice cloning studio to create a text-to-speech model of any individual user's voice.
Descript has really nice product engineering team. We had this bunch of people who are really good at creating and improving technology. So we just felt that it's very, very nice synergy that could happen here. And we just merged the company at that time.
Well, that's very nice for the whole crew, Liarbird and Descript connecting their products. Creating a full service audio cloning tool and riding off into the sunset together. Any thoughts on how to help us mere mortals process this new paradigm? How do you maintain trust in a society where I don't know if I can trust what I see or hear, or who you even are, or who I even am?
It's going to be asking us to really think more about what does it mean to have your own voice? What does voice even mean? Like, do you associate yourself to your voice? What's the meaning of your identity? And like all of these things, let's say, these things are like, we don't have an answer to it as of today, but I expect that these things are going to evolve and like we are going to probably get a better answers in coming years, coming decades.
I have to say, this might make the whole digital ecosystem a lot more distrustful. Help me out, please, MIT. Am I thinking this is the end of trust completely? Is it fake news forever?
So I think that news has always been faked or doctored from whenever photography existed, and then radio and news, video or TV, we have always created fake media, basically. We have doctored videos and photos to make them look better or to make them look different. So deepfakes are not necessarily that new. But I think that the real worry or the real negative effect may be more for everyday individuals. If this technology becomes so easy to use that anyone can create a fake video of a former girlfriend, a neighbor, someone else that they have a problem with, and that common individual doesn't necessarily have the means sort of to defend themselves and to undo the damage that is done to them.
So the new paradigm will require us to be distrustful by default. That's going to be exhausting. I'm officially a big supporter of AI detection algorithms. Let's get those moving. That might be the hopeful takeaway here. Otherwise, it could be RIP to photographic evidence, RIP text chain screenshots, RIP recording of a phone call to collect damning proof of whodunit. And that's just what I can think of off the top of my head. The age of deepfakes is coming. But hey, at least now you're in the know. Okay, MIT folks, I'm going to ask you to put on your futurist hats. It seems like you guys are already quite futurist. How is deepfake technology going to change our culture? What is the meaningful, longer-lasting impact?
One aspect that is fascinating to us is that deepfakes allow you or enable you to become anyone else, basically. Right now, all of us are born in a certain body with a certain voice. We are of a certain height, etc. And it's kind of liberating that you can basically transform yourself into another person and live your life or experience what life is like as that other person. It will really help people in understanding themselves and in learning and becoming more empathetic person, for example, when they can actually literally enter the body of someone else and experience life as someone else.
Pat, what do you think?
The question is, who are you at the end? When you can learn from, you know, people from the future, from the past, you can learn from, you know, a deepfake version of whoever you want to learn from. How do we make sure that at the end we are not losing ourselves or becoming no one? How do we make sure that this technology is used to empower people rather than make them feel that they are, you know, have identity crisis, for example? I think maybe in the future we'll have like a physicality, like, you know, 3D printed deepfakes, or when deepfake combined with bioprinters. So now you can print your face, like the face that you design or generate in the algorithm. How would that change the way that we think about our life and what does it mean to be human? I think it is, will definitely make us reconsider that.
I think deepfakes are also the ultimate personality workshop because you can transform yourself into anyone else and then experience life like that other person and learn from that experience.
So if the magic behind changing your voice or your face is really about what it means to be an individual and whether we can trust what we see and hear with our senses, where do we go from here? Do we go forward only being able to trust people we can see face to face? Or do we get rid of the idea of reliable trust altogether? Do we just live in a world where not trusting is the norm and verifying whether a real person or a fake is the same as trying to figure out if that next robocall is actually a human being on the line? Does this start a chain reaction where people spend less time communicating online because it's just more trustworthy to see and talk to someone in person? Maybe even outside in nature. Is it even worth it to double down on detection methods? The arms race is promising for making sure we can detect a fake. But at the same time, it also means that the fakes will keep improving. The damage might already be done. And if you think about the political or legal implications of all of this, it can get pretty dark. And I'm truly sorry about that, guys. This is supposed to be a fun and quirky podcast, but maybe there's an upside like Pat and Patty are outlining. A way to think about it differently. If you can create a future or a past version of yourself or anyone and wear that around for a day, or have a conversation with a long departed friend or relative, what does that say about our identity or even our life as a finite idea? The idea of malleable identity versus a fixed one could create a whole range of positive effects, so long as you can keep your core being in mind. I mean, just look at me.
Hello? Who's in here?
Oh, hi.
Who the f*** are you? What's going on in here? Why are you in my studio?
I'm recording this podcast called Same Same But Tech. Have you heard of it?
Yeah. It's my podcast? Yo, why do you sound like me? Who are you?
I'm Han, and today we're diving deep.
No. Stop it. I'm Mahan.
Sure thing, buddy. And I'm Batman. Sorry, that was a joke for effect. I'm actually Mahan.
No, I'm Mahan. You are a deepfake, a voice clone.
Anyways, I'm all done here. Do you need the recording booth? Wait, maybe you're the voice clone.
I don't think I am. Well, I mean, look, if you recorded the podcast, let's just run with it. I guess the moral of the story is don't trust everything you hear, even for me.
Today's episode was hosted by me, Mahan M. Zanuzi, produced by Kareen Javier and Lee Schneider, written by Ibrahim Balki, exec produced by Steph Wolf, music by Uvra. Thank you to our dear friends, Patty, Pat, and Kunden. You can find more Same Same on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your ear candy. Thanks for listening. Spread love.
This episode was brought to you in part by BCG Digital Ventures. BCG DV builds revolutionary new businesses with the world's most influential corporations. Learn more at bcgdv.com.
What are you up to right now? You want to grab a beer?
Sure. I know a place with brilliant craft brews just a short distance from here.
Cool.